This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
The bulls are stampeding.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Wall Street hasn't seen a bull run like this in 80 years. The Dow's blue chip stocks have made gains in 24 of the last 27 sessions. That's the best winning streak since 1927. Yesterday, the Dow put on 48 points for another record close at 13,312. The S&P 500 climbed 3 to 1509. But tech stocks didn't fare as well. The NASDAQ lost a point to 2570. And the Asian markets lost ground today as well. European shares are down 0.5%. The piracy of DVDs, handbags, clothes, and other products costs companies hundreds of billions of dollars a year. But just how many hundreds of billions? A new report says the numbers are greatly exaggerated. This comes from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard has more from London. Stephen, what's the deal here?
We're talking here about the amount that companies lose in sales overseas because people are ripping off their products. That figure, according to the OECD, is $200 billion a year. Business lobby groups, on the other hand, had estimated losses up to three times as much, $600 billion a year.
So is the OECD accusing the industry of fudging the numbers on purpose?
No, absolutely not. But that clearly is the implication, isn't it? And it certainly is embarrassing for these business lobby groups because they have bandied this higher figure around and, as a result, have been able to drive this issue up the political agenda.
But if it's $200 billion or $600 billion, I mean, to most people, what's the difference? It's still hundreds of billions of dollars in stolen goods.
Indeed. And as you say, it is still theft. And in fact, the OECD says we are not in any way trying to minimize this. It is a serious problem and it is growing at an alarming rate.
Have we gotten any response from the industry groups?
Yes, there's one in particular, the Paris-based International Chamber of Commerce. That group estimates that losses are even higher. They put losses at $1 trillion and has expressed the concern that this is actually going to be counterproductive. This is going to take the heat off countries like China.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Today, the U.S. Senate starts debate on the most expensive water projects bill in American history. It is a doozy, $32 billion for hundreds of projects around the country. That's double the money in the House version passed last month. And let me tell you, the watchdog groups are howling. Steve Henn reports from Washington.
The Senate's water resources bill has something for everyone. It authorizes billions for rebuilding levees in Louisiana, as well as millions more for pumping sand onto a Southern California beach.
This is the biggest pork barrel water projects bill that we've ever seen.
Steve Ellis at Taxpayers for Common Sense says owners of oceanfront real estate in Imperial Beach, California, are in line to receive one sweet taxpayer finance deal.
We spend $13 million pumping sand onto the beach and then $41 million over the next 50 years making sure it stays sandy.
But one man's pork project is another's economic priority. Gary Brown is city manager for Imperial Beach.
Our community is only 28,000 people. It's very dependent upon tourism.
He says his town could never afford the beach project all by itself. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating women and women's health. Information and resources on women's health issues available at womenshealth.gov. And by the NASD Investor Education Foundation, helping inform today's investor. Online at nasdfoundation.org.
Another topic on the congressional agenda today, the subprime mortgage market. People in neighborhoods across the country have been affected by the subprime meltdown, but not all neighborhoods are created equally. In New York City, a nonprofit group has come up with a way for people to visualize the impact of the subprime problems. It's a map of mortgage defaults. More now from Ilya Meritz.
The map looks like someone took a bunch of sprinkles, the kind you get on a cupcake, and dropped them over New York City. Only instead of landing evenly across the five boroughs, the sprinkles, which represent foreclosures in 2006, are concentrated in just a few neighborhoods. They're mostly poor and minority, prime targets for subprime lenders.
I'm looking at all of the dots here, and I'm sure a lot of these people have come through our doors.
Kathy Mickens advises first-time homebuyers in the Queens neighborhood of Jamaica. She says it's easy to see the effect bad subprime loans are having on the area.
Any one block we might see now, like 3-4 for sale signs. And we didn't see this last year this time.
East Flatbush in Brooklyn is another area hard hit. A recent study showed that nearly half of all loans in the neighborhood are subprime. Many of those have gone into foreclosure. Carl Dorismond is hoping to avoid that fate.
From the beginning, it's going to be, my mortgage is going to be $2,000, $2,000 or $2,100. Can you believe how much my mortgage is? $2,900.
Last year, Dorismond bought his house for $400,000 with a high-interest, no-money-down mortgage. He says the monthly payments are straining his bus driver's salary. Now he's trying to unload the house. Stories like Dorismond's make some merchants uneasy. Achuzia Maha sells home furnishings in the heart of Brooklyn's subprime country, Bedford-Stuyvesant.
Oh, well, I just moved in. I just bought a house, and we hear that all the time. And then we realize we never saw them again. In terms of the homeowners, if they go into foreclosure, then we will never meet those people.
But Maha sees a silver lining. Bedford-Stuyvesant is rapidly gentrifying. Even as subprime foreclosures force some to leave the neighborhood, more well-heeled residents are taking their place. And that means there will always be buyers for Maha's Egyptian cotton sheets. In New York, I'm Ilya Meritz for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Political candidate.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.